Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
Thank you. So that's kind of where we're picking up today. We're picking up with the shield of faith. We've been adding to this each week. The first week, we looked at the whole passage and said that we are indeed in a spiritual battle. Our battle is not against other people like we think it is so oftentimes, but our battle is against spiritual forces. We looked at the Ephesians as a whole deals with two main things: who we are in Christ, and then how we then should live because of who we are in Christ. And then we looked at the first piece, the belt of truth. We looked at it holds everything together. That Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him, and that is the ultimate truth of our faith. We look the next week at the breastplate of righteousness and how we do not have a righteousness of our own, but it is the righteousness of Christ that protects our heart, much like this breastplate would for a soldier. And last week, we looked at the gospel or the sandals of peace, of readiness, of preparation, that those sandals, because of the spikes in them, could help with mobility, but it also helped with stability. And how the peace of Christ, the peace that Christ gave us, keeps us stable in our faith. We looked at Paul's words to us to pray about all things, to think about the good things, and then to act on the things that we have learned from Christ. So today, as we take a deeper look at the shield of faith, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And I believe you can find that on page 978 if you're using an Emmanuel Bible. If you're in your own Bible, Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll give you just a second to find that. The author of Hebrews shares these words in the 12th chapter. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, and let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So today, the translation I read out of was the NIV, and I did that because I like some of the specific verbiage that is used there. But either way, regardless of what translation you have, we see that the command to take up, after all these things, on top of these things, take up the shield of faith. So what would a shield do? Well, first off, as awesome as this shield is, and it is, whether you laugh or not, this is an awesome shield for a costume. But their shields would be much bigger. Much bigger. Sometimes even 4 to 4.5 feet tall, 2.5 to 3 feet wide. And when they would carry it, they could get their whole body behind it. And they could cover so no arrow could hit them. So the shield was their protection. It guarded them. It deflected these arrows that were often soaked and flaming. The wood would knock it down or even quench it out, much like here we would consider kind of how the palmetto trees used to do the cannonballs down in Charleston, because it would have that kind of texture to it. It was the first line of defense. You kept that out in front of you. It wouldn't make any sense to put it behind you. You kept it out in front of you. It eventually would incapacitate the enemy, and it would allow you to help other people. And here's how they would do that. They would take these shields and they would hunker down on the front row. They would bring up the second row behind them, and those people would take their shields and put it on top. So now no arrows could come in like this, and none of them can come in, and they would just keep plowing with those spikes in their shoes, and they would become like a human tank. And that's why the Roman army was so successful against their enemies. One of the reasons why. So Ephesians 6:16 tells us these words that Stacy read. It said, take up that shield, because it will put out or quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So that means for us, our faith is our shield. Our faith also protects and guards us. It also deflects the attacks of the enemy through temptation and accusation, the lies that we know the enemy specializes in. It is also our first line of defense. Our faith should be out in front of us. It should never be behind us. And believe it or not, your faith could also help somebody else in their time of opposition. John Wesley, when looking at this verse, he said this in his notes. He said, continually exercise a strong and lively faith. This you may use as a shield, which will quench all the fiery darts, the furious temptations, the violent and sudden injections of the devil. So that's what the shield does. That's what our faith does. And I love the verses in Hebrews 12. It begins, it says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And again, we can never take three verses of scripture and just look at it by itself. He's talking about the cloud of witnesses, all the saints that have come before. And those are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. It's kind of, Hebrews 11 is kind of the faith hall of fame. The author talks about Noah and Abraham and Moses and a lot of the heroes of the faith and how they kept persevering when nobody else would understand why they were trusting God in that moment. So I want you to think for a minute, who are the heroes of your faith? Who are the people that when you look at them, you just knew there was something a little bit different and you wanted a little bit of what they had? Both my grandmothers were that way. Both of them, regardless of how bad life seemed to get, no matter how many attacks seemed to come, their faith always kept them calm. Their faith always allowed them to stand firm, to keep their hope, and to never lose sight of Christ. You maybe you're saying to yourself, and I've often said this, but I don't have that kind of faith. You ever just known somebody and their faith, not because they thought they were better, but their faith just seemed here and you kind of seemed down here and you wondered, what do I need to do? Well, the author in Hebrews tells us kind of what can we do to strengthen our faith. In verse 1, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us so that we can run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You see, the enemy wants to entangle us. It wants to trip us up. It wants to slow us down. It wants us to give up on our race of faith. The author of Hebrews, when it says to lay it aside or to throw it off, says get rid of those things in your life. Just get rid of them. Leave them behind. Do all that you can do to close the doors that will allow access to the enemy. See, the enemy's going to attack, but sadly sometimes what we do, even as people of faith, is we open the door for the enemy by choosing to do things we know that are not of Christ. And there's something else that we can all do. In verse 2 it says, fixing your eyes on Jesus. We can look to Jesus. But you know, fixing is something a little bit different than looking, than glancing. I can glance at the cross, or I can fix my eyes on that cross. We fix our eyes a lot on our telephones, don't we? How many people you see walking down the street, or, well, in the street, if you're in a city, you see it on the street, but at the Walmart or the grocery store, and they're just, excuse me. If they would look their eyes up, they would see what was going on around them. Well, Hebrews, the author of Hebrews is telling us, you lock your eyes on Jesus, and whatever's going on around you won't be able to touch you. I think that's beautiful, to fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer or the author and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, You see, Jesus' faith never wavered, did it? Even when he prayed for God to remove him from the situation, his faith remained strong. So when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we can be reminded of what he did and that he is our pioneer, our author. He is the beginning of our faith. Our faith begins with Jesus, but he is also the perfecter, the one that brings it to an end in his time. Verse 3 says, consider him, consider Jesus, who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's what the enemy wants you to do in your life when bad things happen, when tough times come, when the battle gets tough. Instead of holding that shield and hunkering down, sometimes we just lay our shield down and we give up. We grow weary. This is too hard. And we give up. We lose heart. There'll be times where it feels like the opposition will never end. Have you ever felt like you couldn't catch a break? And we're not talking like for like 2 days. We're talking like months and years. And like nothing good could happen. When's the bad going to end? Those times are going to come. That's the life in the world we live in of brokenness. See, we've got something that the world doesn't have. We've got a person who has finished the race on our behalf. And we can look to him and what he did. And if he loved you that much, you know, Jesus never gave up and never lost heart when it came to you. He took you on his heart all the way to the cross. Could we say the same about our faith? That when times get tough, that we fix our eyes on Christ and we do not lose heart. And we do not give up. You see, today I think there's probably three places you find yourself, one way or another. You say, my faith is pretty good, and you don't want to say that because then that's bragging and that's pride, and then you got to work on that, right? But you know how people are like, well, you know, I'm doing the best I can. But you're in deep inside, like you're telling yourself, I'm doing pretty good. Like, I got this. I don't look like these people. You know? Now everybody's looking to see whose head's shaking. But if that's you, if your faith is doing good, then maybe what you're called to do is to take your shield and to put it over top of somebody else. Because right now, maybe they need a little extra faith. Maybe they need a little extra love, a little extra support from the arrows being shot at them. And we're called as brothers and sisters, as this army of God, to then say, okay, you hunker down with all you've got, and I'll cover the top of you. So maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're considering laying that shield down in your faith because you're just tired. You're wondering if Christ really does love you. You're wondering if you can ever be forgiven because that's what the enemy's telling you. So what I would want to say to you is don't give up. Throw off that sin. Throw off the things that are tripping you up and fix your eyes on Jesus and hold tight to your shield. But maybe, just maybe, maybe you find yourself this morning where I have found myself in the past and you have laid your shield completely down. And there is absolutely nothing protecting you from the enemy. You see, that's the reality, is even in church that can happen to us sometimes. Did y'all know that? That can happen to even the strongest people of faith sometimes. You can get to a place in your life where you just can't do it anymore. But the grace and the love of God just says, pick it back up. It doesn't matter where you are in your life. If you'll pick it back up, we'll move forward again. And we'll keep going. And eventually the enemy will run out of arrows or pick somebody else to pick on because they know you're not going anywhere. This past Thursday, I lived out a childhood dream. Some of y'all know that. I came out from the shadows and made an appearance on social media. You can go back to your normal life. My coolness is over. It'll be nothing but minor league baseball stats and stuff about the church from this point forward. But for that brief moment, I lived out a childhood dream as I sat in the bleachers at Wrigley Field, a place I have wanted to go since I was a little boy. and we took an impromptu 72-hour trip. If you think it's bad to listen to me for 18 to 24 minutes, you should spend 24 hours in a car with me in a 72-hour span. There are some of us who are Christians. There are some of us who are saints. So don't go complaining about, he preached long. She can tell you about how long. See, my timer's going off now. Right on cue. But we had a great time, and I took tons of pictures, and I didn't really care how the game ended. I just wanted to be there. You know what I'm saying? It's just something that's so special, you just wanted to be there. And the game, I mean, it kind of got a little boring for a while. The Cubs got down 6-1. Yeah, it's pretty bad when the opposing team hits a grand slam. You're kind of like, well, this game's over. And then it became 6-3, and then 6-4. And then the ninth inning came. And if you know anything about baseball, it means the game's almost over. So we start putting our stuff together. We're not leaving, but we're kind of packing up our stuff, getting all our little souvenirs together, and getting all our nacho helmets and our ice cream helmets together for the kids. We're getting all our stuff together. But now there are people around us who are starting to leave. Hey, it was nice to meet you. Have a good day. Or what? And dozens of people are leaving, right? And then we get to the bottom of the ninth, and the first guy gets a hit. Second guy gets out. Then the third guy, who is the ninth hitter in the lineup. And in the National League, that's supposed to be the pitcher. And this was the second baseman. Now, you know it's sad if you're hitting behind the pitcher in the National League. Okay, they don't expect a whole lot out of you. But he hits a home run to tie the game. It's now 6-6, and what was a cool environment became an electric environment. And like, I'm checking on Stacy to see how wild I can get without it being inappropriate. But we celebrate, and we're hugging, and we're high-fiving people we don't even know. I mean, this big guy behind me, he's like hugging me. And he's like, yes, I love you. And I'm like, oh, I don't have a clue who this guy is. And then I told Stace, I said, man, this is about to get interesting. This next guy, he can really hit. He can really hit. The next thing you know, you hear a crack of the bat. You look at the right fielder, and he just starts walking off the field. And everybody in the outfield stands up and just starts going nuts. He hit a walk-off home run, and what that means is because they're in the bottom of the ninth, he scored the winning run, so the teams just walk off the field. There's no more game. It's over. And what went from a cool environment to an electric environment went to an environment of chaos quick, and I participated fully. And we sang every Chicago song we didn't know, and we high-fived, and we hugged, and we promised to meet up again later, and all these silly things. But in the midst of all that, if you know me, you know I'm always looking for a sermon illustration. This man looked at these kids, and he said, that's why you never leave early. And that's why you never give up. And I started thinking, I don't leave games early. I have a couple times for reasons I couldn't control. But I don't believe in leaving early. Because you might just miss the most magical moment of the entire game. And then it hit me. We serve a God of comebacks. We serve a God who knows how to hit walk-offs. Because you see, when the enemy got Jesus on that cross, he thought he won. He put his arrows up and he said, game over, bottom of the ninth. And 3 days later, Jesus hit a home run and walked right out of the tomb. And because of that, we fight a fight we cannot lose if we'll hold on to our faith. I think that's pretty cool. That's like my new catchphrase is, we serve a God of comebacks and a God of walk-offs. I'm going to get T-shirts made. But it's true. You see, our faith does protect us. It does guard us. Even on the times where we feel like losing, if we'll hold strong to it, Christ will come back and have the final say. So regardless of where you find yourself this morning, I want to plead with you to suit up, to hold on to your shield of faith like your life depends upon it, because it does. to grow in grace, to fix your eyes on Jesus, and to be who Christ has called you to be. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.